It is a tremendous privilege to lead a congregation in prayer. You've got 20, 50, 200 or more people listening to you as you intercede for them to God. You're doing that on their behalf. Who is worthy of such a responsibility? Certainly not me, and probably not you either. How do we do this, though? Because leading people in prayer is a worthy endeavor. So how do we do it in a way that honors God and edifies the congregation? Well, welcome. This is Malcolm, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 377. And this is part four of our series on hosting Sunday worship. And today we're talking about leading prayers. So we're continuing our series, exploring what we do on a Sunday and why we do it. Last week, we focused on what is called the welcome. This week's topic is leading people in collective prayer. So first of all, some reflection on scripture. We're not going to go into the detail, but more an overview. Historically, God's people were often led in prayer and prayed for. Some Old Testament references you'll find in the show notes are Numbers 21, 2 Chronicles 30, and Nehemiah chapter 11. The followers of Jesus, of course, prayed together. We see that in Acts 1, 2, 4, 6, 13, 14, 20, and 21. Maybe you probably can find some ones that I've missed. So have a look. What do you see in terms of people praying together collectively? Instructions about prayer in the letters of the New Testament often apply to collective prayer, not just individual prayer, because most of the epistles, of course, are written to churches and not individuals. And so some of that would be about personal prayer, but some of the instructions will be about praying together. And I wonder what difference it makes to your thinking about collective prayer to read through one of the epistles, like Philippians, look at all the references to prayer, and ask how they apply to praying together, and not only on a Sunday, but certainly when we are together on a Sunday. So with those thoughts in mind from Old and New Testament examples, let's have a look at some tips on leading prayers when we get together. Point number one, it's all about God. It is us bringing our needs to God and collectively, but it is about Him. The main focus of our prayers is God Himself, and especially, of course, our Abba Father. Jesus prayed to His Abba Father. He taught His followers to pray to Him, Luke chapter 11. Help us, when you're praying, help us to see Him as you lead us in prayer. Note how the prayer in Acts 4:24 begins when they're praying together. It says they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. It's about Him first and foremost. Second tip I'd like to give you is to make your prayers relevant to the present day, present cultural context, your societal context, your church context. Where is appropriate, include these contemporary social needs, local needs, church needs. The church prayer meeting in Acts 4 I just referenced is a direct response to events. Peter and John are released, and it says they went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them, and then they raised their voices in prayer. There was a stimulus to prayer. Often, what might do well to stimulate us in our prayers on a Sunday morning when we gather for worship is what's been going on in the world. Currently, there are wars in Ukraine. There's conflict in the Middle East. There's economic challenges. We in the UK have a new government. There have been, as I'm recording this, some riots in the UK. I mean, these are things that surely should come into our prayers on a Sunday. And not only that, what about needs in the congregation? One of our members recently lost their mother who died. Another one has a mother in hospital. These are things that should come in, right? So make sure your prayers, when you're praying for the congregation or with the congregation and leading us, that they are relevant to what's going on. Third point. The third point is the word we. You see, you are praying on our behalf, so it's generally best to offer we prayers rather than I prayers. We rather than I. There's nothing wrong with an I prayer as part of your prayer when you're praying for all of us. But remember that you are praying on our behalf and we are praying with you as you pray. So mostly we pray rather than I pray. Next point, content. How do you decide how to pray? Especially if perhaps you're not very experienced at doing this in public. Well, there's a few different options for you. Firstly, you could make up a prayer on the spot, extemporaneous prayer, just praying in whatever's on your mind, whatever the situation in that service on that day has led you to pray about, that's fine. You can make up a prayer on the spot, nothing wrong with that. Or you could read a prayer that someone has written. I think in my tradition, maybe if I may be so bold, I think for a lot of people, it feels like that's less authentic. Somebody else wrote the prayer. Doesn't the prayer have to come from my heart? Don't the words have to be mine? Well, firstly, you could just adapt that prayer. But secondly, just because someone wrote a prayer doesn't make it less authentic. I reference you the Psalms, right? I mean, they were written down and we use those. So the fact that somebody has written it and it's not necessarily David or Moses doesn't make it any less legitimate as a prayer. If it's relevant to the context of the congregation, then fine, read a prayer written by someone else. You can, of course, use the Bible as a template for your prayers. Psalms are particularly helpful. Also, the prayers of Paul. Have you ever looked at his prayers? There's a lot of inspiration in the snatch bits of prayer we see in some of his letters. I've put a link in the show notes to a complete list of the Apostle Paul's prayers you might like to look up and see if any of those could be a useful template for your own prayers. You might find a prayer collection put together by my friend Douglas Jack could be useful. Again, I've put a link to his book, A Collection of Prayers, Collected Prayers and Hymns for the Journey. You can buy that from various places. That might also be another way of helping you to lead others in prayer. Now, let's talk about some common mistakes to avoid. These are just a few. You may have your own. Feel free to put those in the comment section. Firstly, the phrase, let's start the service with prayer, is often used after we've been together for 15 or 20 minutes. That means, are we really just starting now? If we've been together singing, reading scripture, whatever we're doing for 20 minutes, I don't think we're starting the service with prayer. We've already started. If we've been singing, we've already started. If we've had a scripture reading, we've already started. If someone said welcome, we've already started. So rather than let's start the service in prayer, assuming it's not the very beginning, a better phrase would be something like let's continue the service in prayer. You say it's not a big deal. I say, no, it's not. But it's distracting because I'm sitting there thinking, but we've already started. And now I'm not listening to what the person's saying as they pray. So distractions are what we're trying to avoid here. We're not trying to be a stickler for accuracy, more to remove the things that will help us that would get in the way of us engaging with the prayer. Secondly, something to avoid, of course, is jargon. Now, I recorded on that in the previous episode. So go back to that to look at the jargon point, but let's avoid jargon. And jargon is basically words and phrases that we understand, but our guests don't. Thirdly, perfunctory prayers. And what I mean by a perfunctory prayer is one that's rushed. Don't rush the prayer. Take your time. We are not in a hurry, and especially God is not. Now, there are times to offer a brief prayer. Not every prayer should be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes long. There are times when a prayer of 1 minute is perfectly appropriate. So there are times to offer a brief prayer, but a brief prayer is not the same as a quick one. Too often, somebody will say, let's have a quick prayer. I think what they mean is a short prayer. But a quick prayer, well, that's like you're going to be speeding up and speaking at double speed. If it's a brief prayer, just pray a brief prayer. You don't even have to say it's a brief prayer. Just pray briefly, but it's not a quick one. Next thing to avoid is prayer preaching. Prayer preaching. Be careful about preaching in prayer. There are times, it must be said, there are times to help the congregation by praying about helpful convictions, like these things really matter. But too much emphasis on this aspect of prayer risks putting you, as you lead us in prayer, in the position of our judge rather than our intercessor. If we need to develop conviction, Isn't it better to appeal to God to help us with that rather than pray, God, we haven't had it. We need to do this better. We need to do that better. We need to do something else better. It's not so much about what we need to do better. It's about, if we know what those issues are, God giving us the strength. So just be a little careful with prayer preaching. Next, repetitive phrases. Perhaps you've heard a prayer, or perhaps you've even led a prayer littered with repeated phrases. The sort of thing I'm talking about is the Father God prayer that many of us will be familiar with. Father God, help us with this. Father God, do that. Father God, Father God, Father God. This kind of repetitiveness can be forgiven and tolerated when someone's a young Christian. They're nervous. They don't have much experience. Totally understandable. But those of us who've been around a while, that kind of thing doesn't make any sense. We don't talk to each other like that. We don't use the person's name over and over again. John, you know, John. You know, the thing is, John, the point is, John, that that person's going to think we're really weird. And it's not a conversation anymore. And prayer is a conversation with God. We don't need to remind him that he is our Father God. He already knows that. And perhaps we need to remember that, but we don't need to be reminded every 20 seconds. So the more mature, we need to just slow down. We need to engage with God and talk to him. And when then we lead that prayer, we're talking to God on behalf of the congregation, like he's really there, like he's actually listening, which he is, like he's attentive, which he always is. He does not need to be convinced to listen by our many repeated words. Bear in mind, Matthew 6, verse 7, slightly different context, but the same kind of idea. When you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. When we repeat phrases like this, it's as if it's almost a magical incantation that we think by doing so, God will listen. That's not what persuades God to listen. What persuades God to listen is his own heart of love for us and the sincerity of our prayers. And the next thing to mention that can be a problem is mumbling. And its opposite, shouting. Either extreme is problematic. A mumbled prayer is not one we can say a hearty amen to at the end, since we can't understand it because we couldn't hear it. One of the issues that sometimes happens is that we are used to bowing our heads in prayer. Nothing wrong with that as such. But if you're leading a congregation in prayer, you don't want to have your mouth pointed at the ground because the sound won't carry. So have your head up if you're praying for a congregation. Use a microphone if it's available. If it is not, speak up, put your head up, your voice will carry, and then we will all be able to say amen. Mumbling is a problem, but so is a shouted prayer. A shouted prayer is hard to handle. Why? Unless it's a spiritual emergency, okay, that's occasional, but not very often. But it's hard to handle because a bit like a physical emergency when someone would shout, you know, fire, you know, we've all got to leave, right? A shout tends to elicit feelings of fear. And it feels to the rest of us who are hearing the shouted prayer that we need to run away, fight, or hide, or something. So be aware of the challenges of those extremes of a mumbled prayer or a shouted prayer. And the last in these problematic issues of prayer is human-focused prayers. Have you ever noticed the first half of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 is all about God and his agenda? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a very God-focused, God agenda-focused prayer. That's half the prayer. Then we get on to our own needs. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. This is important for us to bear in mind with public prayer. Prayer for the needs of the congregation is important, but setting those situations, those needs, in the context of who God is takes priority. In my opinion, the first part of our public prayers needs to be about God before we go into what we feel we need. By the way, I've recorded some other videos on the topics of public prayer. I've put a link to the first one in the series in the show notes, so you can look at that and the other ones, which is about praying together as a church. So, a question for you, some things to reflect on and perhaps discuss if you're working on this together with some friends. What do you take from this? How do you feel about praying in public? Is it something you feel comfortable with, not so comfortable with? If you could have an influence on the way that public prayers were done in your congregation, what would you like to see happen? It'd be interesting because every congregation is a little different. And so the needs are different. And the best way to do this is going to vary. There's no one perfect way. I'm only setting out some ideas here. To summarize, if you are leading your congregation in prayer, your aim, I would submit, is to help us and to help them collectively connect with a real God who is really present and is interested in us and our concerns. And for that, if you're leading public prayer, you do not need to be a super saint. You do not need to be a prayer poet. Simply, lead us in prayer with us, with God, with your heart and your mind, and all will be well. Finally, it's time for the challenge of the week. So here's your challenge for this week. The next time you have an opportunity to publicly pray on a Sunday, challenge yourself to make it more about God than about anything else. And see what happens. Leave a note about what you learn in the show notes, in the comment box. I'd love to hear from you. Next week, we're going to go on to consider the purpose and practice of announcements and updates in our services. If you have a comment on this week's topic, then leave it where we can see it. We learn best when we are learning in community. If you have a question about the Bible, drop me an email at the email address on screen. If you'd like a copy of my free ebook on spiritual disciplines, How God Grows His People, sign up for my newsletter. You can do that on the website. Please pass the link on to anybody you think might benefit. Subscribe, leave a review, and I hope and pray that you will enjoy public prayer next time you gather with all of your friends. Also remember, at all times, to keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care and God bless.